You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good evening and welcome to Stormzy's favourite Friday night FPL chat with your resident grime experts, myself, Mark, and my friend Andy. It's been a while, Andy. How are you doing?
It has been a while. You haven't been getting too big for your boots while I've been away, have you?
No, I haven't at all. No, but have you followed him yet? Have you DM'd him?
I did,
followed,
yeah.
Have you already?
Oh, I didn't DM him, no, but I did follow him. I saw it at lunchtime and I thought, yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Well, I thought it was fake at first. I was like, oh, this is someone pretending to be. And obviously it wasn't.
So. That was the big news. Forget the Hoyland injury. That was the big news today. The FBL community,
exactly.
In case you missed it, Raptor linked that Stormzy, obviously Stormzy of Raptor's stream fame, of course, because he follows him and has appeared on his stream once or twice already, has created an FBL account. What has he done? Does he know what he's let himself in for? Seriously.
He's gained a lot of followers in one day, hasn't he?
Yeah. It was like 5,500 when I checked. What has he done? Yeah.
Well, yeah, lunchtime I checked, he was 1.1 and he was about 6K last time I checked.
Can you imagine how many DMs he's getting? Like, oh, come on our podcast, come on our stream. Yeah. Like, I haven't followed him yet. The way I look at it, I'm going to wait for him to follow me.
Yeah? Stop it. God. No, so, nice. Yeah, no, bless him. I mean, you've got him, you've got KSI, you've got loads of people starting to really get into it now. So fair play.
Yeah. Do you like your grime, Andy?
Not massively. No. I'm more of a Wurzels fan myself.
Yeah, I thought you might be West Country and all that. Anyway, let's talk about FBL. That's why we're here. We like to sit back on a Friday evening and go through the FBL topics of the week, look ahead to the game week, take some questions. We're watching the chat, so let's pick up the chat, say hello to people in there. Oh, it's not aligned very well. That's my bad. Look, let me just get that better aligned. Sorry that... I must admit, Billy has been using OBS, right? And he's buggered up all my settings. So I came in and everything was wrong size and everything. So I'm blaming Billy. And it's not my technical problems. It's definitely Billy.
These sons of yours, isn't it? Billy, Az, they just mess everything up.
I know. I don't know who's the worst, really, Billy or Az. So in the chat, we've got M. Derriwell, Mark Dorney, FBL Freddy, Louis, Greg Foss is in there, of course. I saw Nigel de Crab earlier. We've got James Harden in there, Akapul. Danish with one, Beaches, FBL Scope, James, Graham Shaw, Ash. There's loads joining us on this Friday night because we know you like to listen to some FBL chat at this time. There's 300 watching right now and it's going up all the time. No pressure, Andy. So let's go back to the start screen. I just want to briefly touch on the little red arrow that's there below you because not so long ago, you were catching me up, but now... I wouldn't say it's a chasm. That's perhaps too much. There's a 20-point gap. So what happened? Double game week for you wasn't particularly good, right?
No, I gambled on the fact that Liverpool might not have the double game week. And so kind of got to a point where I was like, look, I'm going to gamble. I think it got to a point where it was like 15% chance because it took so long for the Premier League to say it was going to happen. And then obviously it happened and I kind of gambled on... I can't even remember who I brought in now, but I got to the point. Oh, I brought in Gordon, and I brought in Gordon instead of Jota. And obviously, in the grand scheme of things, I got to it, and obviously Jota only got 4 points in the double game week. But I was looking at this week and thinking, the way I'm set up, I'm just going to take the red arrow this week. I know this isn't my week to make a move, if that makes sense. So I didn't go all in on this week. I did do a hit, but I didn't go all in. I go for all the doublers. I looked to try and make moves that were kind of looking in the next couple of weeks. And I've just kind of gone with that. And obviously, actually, when you look at it, if I had taken a few more hits, which I have done in the past, that probably would have done me worse. You know, brought in Jota, brought in Ake, brought in those players that didn't do very well. It was a real kind of what was it, wolf in sheep's clothing double game week, wasn't it? We thought it was going to be really lovely, and it really wasn't. So, yeah, it happens. I knew I was going to get a red. It was a 50% red in the end. I went from 50K to 75K. But I have 11 without using a transfer this week.
I know. You said before we started, I'm envious of that, because I've got to take a hit to get 11 out. And then I look forward to 29, as of course we are now. And it's a bit of a disaster show for me for 29. I don't know. How are you set up at the moment? I mean, if we talked about it on Black Box, and we're going to bring up Ben Krell. I hesitate to bring this up because Ben Krellin's table here. This is Ben Krellin's been doing stuff in the community for many years, and he has produced some incredible pieces of work. But I actually think this is the best thing I've ever seen Ben produce. I mean, it's probably one of the most dazzling and confusing things if you don't know where to start. But, you know, we know a little bit of the logic behind it. This basically shows like game week 29, but also the likelihood of the fixture and the double for each team in game week 34 and 37. You know, Ben's in his element at this time of year. Is he in his element? Is he enjoying it, or is he just doing it?
Oh, he's enjoying it. I mean, he's having a hell of a season as well. So fair play to him.
Yeah, hats off to Ben. Stormzy should be following him for sure.
I mean, it says everything that I don't know whether I can change my camera look here.
Yeah, what you got?
Is what I've got on the screen. So I've got that up.
It's an incredible piece of work, this table. And it came out after the day after, or the evening after we did Black Box, so we couldn't have it on Black Box. So I thought I'd drop it in there. Yeah, M. Dan was saying, yeah, thanks, Ben, for your work. Yeah, let's just reiterate that. It's just incredible what he does for the community. So I've used this to look ahead to game week 29, of course, because what you see in the blue column is the odds on that fixture dropping in. And I guess, are you presuming there's going to be four? Are you presuming that Forest Luton drops in at the moment?
Oh, I don't
know.
As a United fan, yeah. I'm trying to do my best to just kind of wait and see. I mean, a lot of people are bringing in, obviously, Wolves players this week, and I'm looking at that and thinking, you know, I get it. Their fixtures are really nice as well, but they might not play in 29, and obviously Bournemouth have the double, and they might not play in 29. So it's really tough to work out. I'm trying my best at the moment to think in my head, this is a week where, obviously, a lot of people are going to be taking hits to field 11, and I'm just thinking, if I can get to 27 and have all that information, it could be a lot nicer, because I'm really hoping there's some surprises in who's going to play. I mean, look what I just said about Liverpool. You know, all those weeks ago, there was a 15% chance at one point, and then all of a sudden it drops in and it goes up to 100%. So I'm hoping some of these fixtures do surprisingly get added into this list. But I'm kind of, what I want to happen is that there's hardly any fixtures, because then everybody's in the same boat. Yeah, exactly. Or I want the surprise fixtures to happen and I can get there. That's what I really want, but we'll see. Are you thinking free hitting this week?
Well, let's move away from this piece of work. We'll come back to it, because there's so much there. There's no way we can get it.
It's your screensaver, so we've got to keep
exactly. Yeah. It's the wallpaper in the toilet now. I like hanging it on the toilet doors. I've taken the pictures of the family down. Just Ben Krellin's charts everywhere. It's like, that's, I don't fair. Know. So chip, got to be careful. Chip strategies. Yeah. We talked a while back about what we're going to do, and you know, I was kind of very much in the camp of strategy one. A couple of super chats are coming, by the way. We're going to catch those in a minute. Mm-hmm. Strategy one being wildcard in 30, having dead ended into 29, and a free hit in 34 for the double, even though it's a poor one. But you free hit there because you can get players from the lesser teams for the double game week. And then you bench boost in 37 when that's the bigger double game week with the more attractive teams and players, right? But I have really started to deviate towards free hitting in 29 now. And there's a couple of strategies around that, as the table shows here. You could either wildcard after 26, knowing, you know, with the information we're going to get on the FA Cup, because the FA Cup round is obviously midweek. So you could wildcard into 27 to set yourself up nicely for future game weeks, right up to game week 34 and beyond through to 37, with the free hit in 29. So you wildcard without 29 being a factor. So you don't need to get players from those lesser teams in. Then you bench boost probably in 34 is what I'm thinking, because 34 is the week where you know you want to be playing the single game week players, because the double game week players are of lesser quality. So that's probably where you want your bench boost there. So your single game week players are still a factor to maximise your squad. And then you bench, and then or you bench boost in 37. But that's probably less attractive, I would say, because end of the season, rotation, et cetera, et cetera. The other strategy is you don't wildcard in 27, but you free hit in 29. You wildcard after 34 with 37 in mind, and then you bench boost in 37. So that's the more traditional wildcarding close to the bench boost chip, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So how far away are you from straying from that strategy one where you, you know, wildcard 30, free hit 34?
Not massively. It completely depends on 27. The big thing is, obviously, I think a lot of people are going for it this week because they're saying, look, let's just wait and see what happens. So they're getting, say, Hwang in, they're getting, some people are going completely balls to the wall with Wolves and they're getting Hwang and Neto. Some people have obviously gone 8 Nori. And some people are just saying, look, you never know. What we could do is go all out on these Wolves players. And if they, by some miracle, we do get that fixture, we're so well set up in 29 anyway that we don't have to use the free hit. And obviously then the other advantage is you can target the Sheffield United game. And then if you need to, you just free hit in 29 anyway. So I think people are going down that route, which actually I do see the benefits of doing that. You know, I really do.
Yeah.
I still hate the idea of using that free hit in that blank because yes, you're going to get a few points on quite a few people, but in the same respect, I'm just thinking I could just use it in another game week. And
you're going to use it in 34 then?
It's 34 is still the one I'm thinking. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be necessarily, my whole team is going to be based around those really poor teams that have a double. But I feel like there's other things that are going to crop up, which means you can, you know, target other players in that game week. I think it's either strategy one or strategy four that I'm looking at the moment. Because I think if I aim for using that wildcard in game week 30, I'm going to know by 27. I'm going to know after this game week anyway.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing at the moment, obviously I'm most probably not getting any Wolves in this week, unless we have some kind of a leak that KDB is not going to play, which is looking like could happen. And then
what the leak or him not playing? What do you know, Andy? Are you in that secret WhatsApp chat? You and Stormzy, are you? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's me and Stormzy. Yeah, me, Stormzy, KSI and Raptor. Oh, it's lovely, it is. I think Az is in there as well.
Oh, yeah, he's always involved.
So it's between strategy one and strategy four. I get the wild card in 27, but I'm not a massive fan of the wild card in 27 because I think it's really tricky wildcard in 27 and preparing for 29 and then the fixture swing after 30 and then getting ready for those doubles in 34 and 37. I think that's an awful lot of strain to put on a wildcard personally.
Yeah. I'm with
personally.
You. I don't want a wildcard in 27, ahead of 27 because basically the FA Cup games come in, Wednesday, don't they? So you've got 30 and Friday then to play a wildcard. I don't like the pressure. That's already making me feel anxious, just wildcarding over 2 days. Because normally we wildcard over a 2 week international break, don't we? And that's okay. Wildcarding ahead of 27 after you get the FA Cup results. I can see the logic in it, but I don't know if I'd have to take 2 days off work. I can't do it. So, no, I just don't want that pressure on me to do that. So I think you're right. It's one or four for me. And I'm now 40-60 because I'm going back to Ben's incredible piece of work. I'm not very well set up for game week 29. Even if Luton Forest dropped in, I'm only going to be around about five or six players. And I did a free hit team for Black Box for Wednesday. And that looks all right, you know. I mean, admittedly, it had three Forest players in it and I'm a Forest fan, but it looked all right. Have you had a look at what you would do with a free hit then?
No, I haven't. Because I haven't wanted to. It's just, I mean, there is a lot to be said in terms of using that free hit to make navigating all the weeks around it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And that's obviously what it's going to be, isn't it? I don't know. I think there will be some benefits to not using that free hit. But I'm looking. So, for instance, if you weren't the free hit, how many players would you say I know it's tough to say because you don't 100% know the fixtures. I'm still looking at it and thinking if I can get 8 or 9 out in that week, I think that'd be fine.
I would if I could get 8 or 9, but there's no way I can. Even with hits, I'm going maximum 7.
It's the Bournemouth fixture that doesn't help. Because obviously if Bournemouth don't play in 29, we've got to get players in for 28.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously that's hurting you for 29 as well. So it's not like you have 4 weeks to go and you've got four transfers to use.
Plus, the other thing is, you can, if you know you're free hitting in 29, you can really attack 28. So you can effectively, because Bournemouth have got a good fixture in 30. I forgot who they've got. I think they're at home to Burnley in game week 30. They've got a very good fixture.
They got Burnley next, haven't they? They got Burnley after City.
Who do they play in 30? It's a home game in 30. I had a look last night and thought, hello, well, that's okay. Because if you load up on 28, they're at home to Everton, right? So that's, for me, that's not a bad fixture, right? So you can load up on Bournemouth in 28, get three of them, and then carry that free hit in 29 and carry free Bournemouth into 30. And if you have to play all three Bournemouth at home to Everton, it's not a disaster. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to play three, but you play Tavernier and Solanke against Everton at home. So, and then you can wildcard after that, maybe wildcard in 31. So
I was just about to say that, but going back to your chip strategy table that you've got, there wasn't a free hit in 29, wildcard in 30, was there?
No, but there could be, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, there's so many variants. I'd have to...
Yeah,
there's so many variants of what you do. But yeah, I mean, there, you could do strat 4, but not wildcard after 34. You could wildcard in 30 or 31 and try and say... Basically, what you're doing then is you're foregoing heavy on game week 34. But that's, as I said with Azzy the other night, that's not too bad. When you look at the percentages of the teams that are likely to double in 34, and Ben's done some great work, the most likely teams are teams like Crystal Palace and Everton and Sheffield United. Who else is there? Bournemouth could double in 34. So they're not the teams that you want to invest in long term. And if you go into double game week 34 with just maybe three or four doublers, that might be okay, because those who are going to free hit and go to town on it may well be sacrificing single game week players that could score really well. And that's the thing Azaz keeps rattling on about, is like he's really worried that if he free hits in 34, you're moving in players for more average teams and probably taking out players in stronger teams with one fixture. And that's the risk, because, you know, he's bound to get it wrong, isn't he? Let's face it.
But two games is still better than one. Like, and it really is. And I think one thing I really liked
about
this week...
Tell that to Alfie Doughty. Hey?
Yeah, well, one thing I really liked about this week was that everybody started going, double game weeks are overrated. They're not what we want them to be. Like, this is what double game weeks are like all the time now.
Yeah.
They're not. Like, double game weeks are our bread and butter, aren't they? Like, we double game weeks have been so good to us for years and years and years. Yeah. Obviously, this has been a bad one, but that doesn't mean everyone's going to be bad moving forward.
No, so. I get it. I totally understand. And, yeah, that's right. I mean, we can't let this one that's just gone deter us from going in on the doubles. And I think the Bournemouth double of Sheffield United and Luton is really strong. And I do like the idea of having three Bournemouth players for that. But I don't think I can get that and also prepare for 29. I'd have to just go in with, you know, lesser players there, probably only two or three doublers. Whereas free hitting in 29 means I could go in with maybe four, probably even five. So I don't know. It's about giving yourself the freedom to attack the fixtures before 29, isn't it?
Yep.
And that goes for this week as well, because you can attack Wolves and their next three, which is obviously Sheffield United, Newcastle, Fulham, which is a good three, without having to think about 29 as well.
I know. And that is the thing. And it's one thing, like you just said, and you've hit the nail on the head. It's being able to give you that freedom around game week 29, because game week 29 just is a shitter, isn't it? Like, it's not, no one's going to enjoy that week, even when they're free hitting, to be perfectly honest. Mm. But it means that you can attack those fixtures beforehand. Yeah. And I mean, we say this, who are we looking at? Huang and Neto for Wolves this week. And then obviously, they have nice fixtures. But then in that Bournemouth double game week, who are we really wanting to massively invest in that we think is going to be like Solanke, who a lot of people will be able to get to quite easily anyway, and then Senesi, maybe? Are you going triple Bournemouth and triple Luton
in
that week?
I'll go triple Bournemouth. I've got Doughty. I'm not going to go.
Who's your third Bournemouth, do you
probably
think?
Probably Tavernier. Probably will go him.
Really?
You frequent that part of the world quite often.
I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, are you? Well, there you go. Then. So you don't or Neto. You know, people are putting in chat about.
I suppose Neto maybe. I don't know. What I'm interested in. People are obviously saying it, but I'm just wondering who they're actually going for, because you've already got Doughty, so you'll be looking to have four
Yeah, four.
At least then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think four is what I'd probably go into. If I, and of course, we're going to know what we're going to do after this, once the FA Cup results drop in.
Yeah.
And yes, we could get some shock. So I think my strategy is forget game week 29, attack the walls, attack the walls fixtures. Go Solanke for 28. So with my transfers this week, it'll be a Wolves player and Solanke. And then wait for the FA Cup results to drop in to decide whether it's going to be the free hit in 29 or not. Yeah. Let's get to the super chats before we talk about Wolves, because Wolves are going to be a big factor.
I should just say, by the way, a few people in the chat. So Greg Frost said Tavernier is a really good player. Yeah, he's a really good player. It's just whether he plays both, because it's really hard picking that Bournemouth team, apart from, say, Solanke, Senesi and Neto. And really quite tired of saying two games are still better. They are. Two games are better than one game. If your player plays two games in a week, it's better than a player that plays one. Yes.
Yeah. You've only got to have a look at the models and see what they tell you. They tell you no matter who the player, who the fixture, it is double. It's double. It's still double points. And they're going to push you towards the double game week players. But anyway, let's talk about Super Chats. There's a couple here. Mark Schroeder, first of all, thank you very much for the Super Chat. Mark, thanks for joining us tonight as well on a Friday night. 8 Nori, is he worth bringing in for a -4 hit? It'll be Concert or less likely Burn. I currently just have a full start in 11. So he's bringing in, he's taking out Concert or Burn, bringing in 8 Nori for a hit. He has to start in 11 without that. I wouldn't do it then, would you? Would you bring in 8 Nori for a -4?
It depends who his starting 11 is, I guess, because there's so many that are kind of not definites to play this week. So, for instance, like Estupiñan, KDB, like if you've got a Taylor, whatever it is, like you might have a few there that might not definitely play. I don't mind 8 Nori. I think 8 Nori is a good shout. I'm not sure I'd do it for a hit.
No.
But, I mean, what I do like about the Wolves one is that they've got quite nice fixtures moving forward anyway. So Sheffield United, then Fulham, then Bournemouth. Like they've got quite a few home games as well. So it's not awful. Obviously, the big thing is if they also play in game week 29 against Bournemouth.
Yeah, this is it. You could bring a Wolves player in this week, and all that's got to happen for them to both, for Wolves and Bournemouth to both play in 29, I say all, two things have got to happen. Basically, Wolves have got to lose to Brighton in the FA Cup, totally possible, and Bournemouth at home to Leicester have got to lose to Leicester. Now, Leicester are flying.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Bournemouth could field a weakened side in the FA Cup. I doubt it. I think they'll go for it because they're safe, aren't they? So
then, historically, they're not a team that really goes for it in the Cups,
mind. No, right.
No, they're really not. I mean, under Howe, they never used to. Definitely not. And obviously, now under Riola, I just don't think they're that fussed about it, to be perfectly honest. And obviously, like you said, Leicester are flying. It could easily happen.
Yeah.
There will be one or two surprises, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're almost a Bournemouth expert, you know. You've been there so often.
Definitely not. I go there more than I go to Yeovil, which says a lot.
Yes, that's very true. Another super chat we have from B Mac. Thank you very much for the super chat, B Mac. Start Trippier or Stupinan, whose one pointer do I want? Now, there's been a leak. Must have a leak. There was a post tonight, wasn't there, saying that thumbs up for Stupinan. Do we buy that, though? I don't. I feel nervous.
I thought you meant the disabled one.
No. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. So do you not put stock in that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, he's not sure either, to be fair. So don't take a hit for Stupinan on the basis of this. But Brighton are home to Everton. Or Trippier away at Newcastle, away at Arsenal. I mean, I'm starting Trippier. I'm not expecting much. Interestingly, against Forest, Trippier played inverted low. He didn't play fullback and they played three at the back and Trippier moved infield. I wonder whether they'll do that to match up with Arsenal in that game. So Trippier further forward a little bit more, a bit more of a creative influence maybe less so, don't know. But I think I'd start Stupinan, wouldn't you? Even though Everton absolutely trounced Brighton last time.
Yeah, I think I probably would still, because I feel like the upside's there if they both start. And there, you know, there's every opportunity he could start. I mean, we were talking to Az, weren't we, in the chat, and saying we cannot understand why Stupinan's not playing. Like, he must have fallen out with De Zerbi or something.
He thinks so, yeah.
Yeah. And isn't he just been round his house to have some pasta or something?
Yeah, I saw that. That's a story to say. And someone, I think it was Disabled Against it. Oh, you obviously haven't watched The Godfather. Because being invited round to the boss's house for dinner, wasn't a good thing in The Godfather, if I remember rightly. And so everyone's going, oh, yes, Stu Plan's definitely going to play. Not necessarily.
He's going to wake up in the morning with a horse's head in his bed, isn't he?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery. Stu Plan's a very good player, but he has been quite erratic. We said this on Black Box. He's had some stinkers, to be fair.
Yeah, you know.
There was that game where you were subbed at half time, wasn't there, when they were 3-0 down at half. I can't remember who that was too, but they were awful in that match. And so he's had some bad moments, definitely. But when he's gone forward, he's looked outstanding. So I'd start him home to Everton. I don't necessarily see Everton scoring. I wasn't very impressed with them in the last game that I saw against Palace. They struggled to break Palace down, and their one ploy is get the ball in the box, obviously, for knockdowns, and they put a lot of crosses in. And that might trouble Brighton. And Brighton normally concede, don't they? But I'd still play a stupid man, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would as well.
Zovemir Boban has given us $4.99. Thank you very much, Zovemir. Well, I'll be splitting that with Andy later. Leeds are winning at Stamford Bridge, so should we all get triple Arsenal tonight? I already have 6 from West Ham versus Villa. Don't ask. Yeah, don't ask why I've got... He's got 6 from West Ham versus Villa. Has he got 3 West Ham, 3 Villa? 3 Villa, maybe. 3 Ooh, West Ham?
Yeah. Well, fair play. Maybe he's got what? Bowen, Areola.
What do you think to Leeds winning at Stamford Bridge? It is possible, isn't it? It's like Leicester Bournemouth.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Because it could happen. Chelsea are all over the place at times. But obviously, we thought Villa might beat Chelsea, and obviously Chelsea beat them, didn't we? So I would love it, personally. But I don't know. I'm just waiting to see what happens. I think you can really get fixated on kind of working things out and seeing what you think is going to happen, and then just something different happens, and obviously you're left reeling. So, yeah, I would like it, though. Like you said, if we could get triple Arsenal and I'd sold Palmer, so I'd have to get Palmer back.
Oh, but, have you?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me feel anxious.
You and your anxiety this week.
I know, it's right up here at the moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. You know, in previous seasons and almost every season, I almost overplan for double game weeks. And I talk myself into what I call a double game week master plan. And then what I end up doing is being totally blinkered to things around me, like the Wolves fixtures, for example. And that's what I really want to avoid. And that's why I'm determined to just go, no, just play what's in front of you. Don't look to 29 too much and so on. Are you a bit like that as well? Or are you kind of more kind of calm and considered when you're looking ahead?
Not so much. I find it quite hard to ignore the hype at times. So like, for instance, you're looking at it now and thinking Wolves are playing Sheffield United at home. Sheffield United at home is the fixture that everybody's always going to go for. And in my head, I'm trying to think, am I just getting pulled in by the Huang hype? Or am I?
Yeah,
exactly. Huang hype. Or should I just be saying no? Because that's not going to help me moving forward. And that is sending me down a road where I have no options moving forward. So obviously it's a week too early for this, isn't it? Like if this fixture was next week, it'd be perfect because we'd know all the permutations. But I'm just looking at it and thinking I want to have the options open. So if I do get Huang this week, I think I'm free hitting in 29, basically, because I cannot get to enough players.
Yeah.
But is, you know, like we just said, that's perfectly fine as well. But I cannot remember the last time I free hitted in a blank game week. I've always done it in a double game week. So it'd be interesting to do it this year if I do.
Really? So it's been a while since you've...
Yeah.
Really? Genuinely. Yeah. Right, I didn't...
Because I have such good memories of blank game weeks, like doing well in them. There was one, it was years ago when Salah scored a De Bruyne and an assist against Palace. No, against someone. I can't remember who it was now. Watford, maybe. And Milivojević got a goal and an assist. And he was... And I only had about 5 players and I got a green arrow. Like, it can happen if you've got the right players, but... Obviously, it's harder.
Yeah, I mean, with the fewer fixtures as well, you're starting to go, well, I've got to find the right Luton player. I've got to find the right Forest player. So, you know, it is difficult for a free hit to hit the target, isn't it, with teams and players of that ilk. So I get what you're saying. Another super chat here from Sachin saying, I own Tony and Saka. Should I start Areola or Dubravka? I mean, whatever he does there, he's losing because, you know, he's got... So let's see. Dubravka is obviously at Arsenal, isn't he? And Areola is at home to Brentford. You start Areola, don't you? Areola.
Yeah,
And you start Areola. And you've got to have Tony and Saka, but you take the save points off Areola, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, Dubravka could get more save points, but I think just on the off chance of the clean sheet, which could easily happen for West Ham there, I'd go Areola. And then you're doubling up on, you can't lose, can you? You'll either get a Tony. If Brentford score, it's Tony, right? So I don't think you
can. No, I agree.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you very much, Sachin, for your super chat there. We'll take a few more questions in a bit. Let's talk about the Wolfpack. Yeah, I did that just for you, for old days. Yeah, look, yeah, there we go. Look, the Wolfpack. Let's talk about Wang.
Cool, that threw me off for a second.
I know, yeah, so I put that in just for you. Yeah.
Oily.
For those who don't know, the Wolfpack, well, you tell it, Andy. You say what Wolfpack was. Go on.
So the Wolfpack was my very first pod, the Wolf Pod. It was me and Irons mainly. And then we had like Bricky and Corf and Flapjack, who was in the Wolfpack as well. Lovey, there was loads of people in it, and FBL Differential. And it was my first pod, and I got Mark on the pod, I got Az on the pod, and Mark thought we were a bunch of degenerates until he came on the pod and said, oh, do you know what? This isn't that bad, actually.
No, you had a bit of an edgy reputation, the Wolfpack, I thought.
Edgy. Me, the reception teacher.
It was a really good pod, and I really enjoyed my appearance on it. And obviously, that's where Flappy J, he of the multiple captaincy success, that's where he launched his illustrious FBL career, of course. Right?
Exactly. Well, yeah, he went on to be the surgery host. I went on to do Scoutcast. Yeah. So, yeah, it was obviously a springboard for everybody on it. So,
But I brought this up, called it the Wolfpack, just for you to have a look at Huang, Neto and Sarabia. Sarabia's being probably the lesser spotted amongst the community picks, isn't he, out of these three? Quite interesting that it's quite close between them, though. Chances created... Sarabia has created more, 38 in 300 less minutes than Neto, which really surprised me. Neto's been out the side because of injury. Sarabia has struggled to really cement his starting role, but he's got that. He's got that now. He's had consecutive starts now, and he's very much an option. Could even be on penalties over Huang. We don't really know for sure because he's got a good penalty record, Huang. I guess it is still between Huang and Neto, though. Interesting here, the goal involvement. Neto 62%, Huang 45%. Both good, but Neto absolutely outstanding. That's right at the very top of any player for any particular club. 11 assists and 2 goals, so heavily weighted towards creativity. Whereas Huang, 10 goals, 3 assists, so the identical number of FBL goal involvements. Where does your allegiances lie here between these three players?
I mean, personally, if it was me, it would be Huang, just because it's the goal scorer. And obviously, if you've got a goal scoring midfielder, I think that's always where your head's got to be going. I mean, you look at a lot of these stats, and obviously he's coming out on top out of the three of them. I do think it would be interesting to see what happens with the penalties, because I do think it could be either him or Sarabia. I genuinely do. And I've asked an awful lot of Wolves fans, and they're not 100% sure it's going to be Huang, you know, because Sarabia's taken him. He's a very, very good penalty taker as well. I think it was 16 and 16
that's
he scored.
Right. Yeah.
And he has taken him for Spain as well, and he's done well. So I think it's close between them for penalties, but it's not close in terms of who I would be getting in. I think Huang is 100%. He's way above the other two in terms of my priority for if I was getting one of them in. But I've seen a lot of people getting both in. I've seen a lot of people getting Huang and Neto this week. So obviously people are targeted in that fixture. But I don't know whether you think the same. Goal scoring midfielder. It's just going to be interesting without Cunha, but it is Sheffield United at home. But Cunha's a massive loss for them. You know, he's a player that's integral to the way they play. So it's just whether they can keep carving open those chances. But Sheffield United, you know, doesn't matter who it is, they can carve open chances against
them. Yeah, well,
Sheffield
United, you just don't know what you're going to get. They could completely capitulate, couldn't they? And it could be 3 or 4 nil. And obviously, I think I saw the bookies are expecting at least 2 goals from the game for Wolves. I think the key stat here is the XG per shot, because it kind of underlines the quality of chance that Huang is having with each of his shots compared to Neto. Huang is 0.16 XG per shot, and that's X shots non-penalty. That's when you don't factor in penalty kicks, which raises his XG even more, of course, per shot. But Neto's 0.03. So in other words, Neto, when he has a shot, it's a low quality chance. It's normally from outside the box. It's normally a half chance where... You know, Huang has had good chances. He's not converted them all. But his conversion rate is high, 27.8 from a 36% shot accuracy. 27.8 is top tier, right? You know, you get anywhere between 25 and 30, it's real top conversion rate. You look at Neto's conversion rate, 34% shot accuracy, 6.3. Again, that's down to the quality of the chance. that seals it for me as well. I'm with you, right?
Yeah, so you're going to be a wanker this week then, are you?
I knew you'd do that. I saw your post. Your edgy tweet on X or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the kids call it. What do Stormzy call it these days? I've no idea. Yeah, I am buying Wang. Yes, that's right. Yeah,
yes. Yes. I've always said you were one.
Yeah, I've actually bought him already. Yeah, because...
He went up last night, didn't he?
I know. And even though prices don't matter, and even though it's almost like I like the thrill of going, I'm still going to do the early transfer. I'm still going to run that gauntlet. I'm still going to upset Joe by doing an early transfer.
Well, you look though, what's obviously happened this week is that Hoyland's now injured, which we didn't see coming. Obviously, he's out for 2 to 3 weeks, which is awful. And I think if you look at the top transfers in
this
week...
He's the top transferred in.
He's top... He's over 400,000 people have brought him in, and almost 300,000 people have brought Salah in this week. So there is hope for us still.
What do you make of the Hoyland situation? Because there's talk that, is it Burson going to start? The kid's going to start tomorrow?
Yeah, Forson, yeah. It's gutting because, you know, he was doing so well and he scored 6 games in a row and we were starting to actually play to, you know, his strengths as well. Don't be wrong, in the last game, obviously, against Luton, the goals were quite fortunate. It's not like anybody created them for him, obviously. Mm.
The chested goal was a cracker.
Oh, that was lovely. Yeah, but that was obviously a shot from Garnacho, wasn't it? So it's not like somebody's created it for him. But yeah, it's a real shame for the lad, but hopefully only 2-3 weeks and he'll be back. I don't think it massively helps anybody else, to be perfectly honest. I know Rashford's chances of scoring has gone up, but the fact we're not going to have that focal point up top with Hoyland, I think really hurts everybody, if I'm perfectly honest.
Kieran saying, surely it'd be Garnacho, Rashford and Anthony. You ain't bringing Anthony back in, surely?
No, not that I've seen. No. And I don't think we're going to be playing Rashford up top. It looks like we're going to be playing this Forson lad. So based on the training pictures that people have seen this week, it looks like he's been training with the first team as if he's going to start. So yeah, it'd be interesting. But we've done that before. We did it with Rashford years ago. You know, he was training with the first team and then came in for the European game and then scored 2 against Arsenal. So, I don't think Anthony will be coming back in personally. The only time Anthony might come back in is if he plays instead of Shaw at left back.
Yeah, because Shaw's out as well. I guess it could have implications because Forest play United in the Cup. And obviously with Hoyland, I was like, ooh, don't fancy that. But you came to our place with Rashford up front. He was terrible. I mean, like... Yeah. So if you're going to cut, and you did have Anthony in that game for some of it. I think he went off though. So Garnacho might be, I mean, Garnacho played well, but I now think Forrest have got a good chance of beating United. No?
Stop it. Yeah, no, probably.
I think it's 50-50 now. I definitely had United going through with Hoyland because that was the problem. When you came to our place, you didn't have a cutting edge, but he clearly is that now. But that could affect FBL because if United go out, then United Sheffield United is on.
I know.
And I haven't got any player from Man United. So that would basically make up my mind to free hit.
Just got to hope that Hoyland might be back for that week. That might be quite nice then.
He could be. They've said 2 to 3 weeks, haven't they, I think?
Yeah. So 29 might be the next week he plays.
Against Sheffield United.
Yeah.
What would you do then? Would you use free transfers to get United players in? Would you go Bruno and Hoyland?
No, because I don't think I want to own them in the other weeks, to be perfectly honest. So anything, that might make free hit a bit more tempting.
I'm just seeing, who do they play in 30 United? If you are bringing them in...
In 30, they play Brentford away.
Not terrible, yeah. So that would make the free hit more attractive for you, would it? If it's United were in there.
Well, they got Everton at home in 28, but obviously you're not going to be using transfers on United in 28 because it's all going to be about Bournemouth. So I don't see many weeks you're going to be getting United in because in 27 they got City away. So when are you going to be bringing them in? Really, I suppose in 29 if you're not free hitting, but. Yeah, I mean, I say that, obviously, if you're not free hitting in 29, you're most likely wildcard in the 30, so you can just get rid of them again, can't you?
Yeah.
But,
So you're one of the 400,000 that bought Hoyland, right? Imagine. What would you do now? Would you take a hit to get rid? And if so, where would you go? Oh, Nigel, stop throwing us money, Nigel.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in there.
Bless him.
Giving us a super chat there. Matty Cash's little face there showing up to signify the super chat.
If I owned Hoyland now, if I got him in, and I'm assuming people brought him in and he's, you know, that's making your 11. I'm assuming. So I'm assuming most people aren't benching somebody to now have.
So they have to, yeah. So the gun to your head, you've got to get a replacement in for Hoyland.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's rubbish. Like, you'd say Solanke, wouldn't you? Because he's obviously got that double game week and he's got Burnley next week as well. But he's got Man City away this week. But if you've already got Haaland,
Man City at home. Not that changes much, but
yeah. No. But it, yeah. I mean, it could score. Like, I'm not overly expecting Man City to keep a clean sheet. But yeah, I think you've got to go Solanke, really. And in terms of, you know, setting yourself up,
if you've got Solanke, you go Watkins because you can't have Watkins, yeah. Solanke. It's Watkins, Solanke, and Hoyland and Haaland, isn't
yeah.
it? Out
of the, yeah,
not Hoyland. It is. Don't do that.
Yeah, not Hoyland.
Not
no.
now. Not now. let's do the super chats. B Mac is back with another couple of kids. Thank you very much, B Mac, for another super chat. You're too kind. His question is Nunes to Solanke -4 or start Trippier Solanke 27 for free. I would do Solanke for -4 over Trippier.
I wouldn't. No, I don't think I would.
No, maybe not, because he can get him in anyway, can't he?
Yeah.
And Trippier could...
Not for a hit.
Yeah, Trippier could pull something out of the bag at Arsenal, I think. Mm. I've gone 4-2 to Arsenal in that game, so I think Newcastle will
Have
score.
You?
Yeah, 4-2? I think there'll be a lot of goals, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like it. I obviously fancy Arsenal to win, but I was thinking like 2-1, 3-1, but 4-2s. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I think Gordon's a brace for me then, do you?
I think Gordon's a good player to have. I had him and then sold him straight away because my policy is injured, get them out. But Izak could be back, but it sounds like Gordon could start, doesn't it? Do you not think? I think he could start up front.
yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, and if Izak's not playing, then he's on pens. Mm. So
yeah, I know. That was a turn up, wasn't it? When that pen was awarded, I was going, come on, Trips, take the pen.
No, I know. I was like, it won't be Gordon. Yeah. And then it came up on SofaScore and I was like, yes. Yeah. And that was at the point where, because I benched Watkins for Gordon last week. Yeah. And obviously then it was like, oh, Gordon could outscore Watkins here, and then Watkins got another goal, didn't he?
So. Fair enough. Nigel the Crab Super Chat, thank you very much, Nigel, for another fiver. You are far too kind. Please stop throwing us money. Mark, not sure if you've seen the Godfather chat. This is the WhatsApp group, of course. No leaks.
Oh, I'm not in that one.
But I've got Elanga and Hudson-Odoi in my team this game week. I fancy a bit of that Forest counter. I do as well. I've gone 2-2 for Forest Villa. I think we're going to score a couple of goals.
Have you?
Yeah.
I like it. I don't trust Forest at all, but I like it. No, not at all. I like some of your players.
1.9 goals per game under Nuno. And did you see this? Team data defence last six. Look at that. Look who's second. Second best defence, Forest. 0.90 XG conceded.
You had some nice fixtures, have you?
No, 2.80. Not easiest fixtures either. Just want to point that out. Yeah, I think it'll be a game of goals, Villa Forest. Villa have lost the last three at home, I want to say, and we beat them 2-0 at our place. And if Awoniyi's playing, then
He's the one, isn't he?
He could be, you know, you're not going to get him this week, but definitely if you're free hitting 29, Awoniyi against Luton could be really useful player to have. Let's draw things to a close by looking at our team, shall we?
Lovely.
I've got to find the button with your team. There it is. Right. For the purposes of those listeners to the podcast, read us through your team, Andy.
Yes. So I haven't made any transfers yet. So I've got Areola in goal. I've got Saliba, Estupiñan, Mitchell and Taylor, who is currently my vice-captain.
Is he going to play?
He was on the bench and came on last week, didn't he? So he could play. I'm not holding out any hope, but I was hoping he would. This is the only reason I've kept him this long, was because I was hoping he'd play in this week. Then I've got Foden, Saka, Gordon, De Bruyne, and then Haaland and Watkins. I don't think De Bruyne is going to play. I think he's going to be on the bench, personally. And from a lot of the things that I've seen online, and Alex Forlex, the one that does the Man City things, he's got him at about 20%. But then they have come out and said he's travelled, he's not injured. It's just whether him and Pep decide that he's fit, you know, he's okay to play, basically.
And they've got the Luton Cup game in midweek. And then they've got, what have they got the following week? Let's have a look. I'm trying to think who they've got, who they play.
Copenhagen again.
Yes, Copenhagen. Yeah, in the second leg. Although they've got that one, haven't they?
Yeah,
you would say. I mean, no, they haven't. I mean, it's 3-1, isn't it? I think on aggregate at the moment. So you'd think that they would rest him in that. They wouldn't necessarily start him in that. Game week 27, of course, they've got Man United, right? So that's what they're possibly saving him for. It's whether or not, I guess, they feel playing him at Bournemouth is going to make him a risk for the United game. Yeah. I don't think Bournemouth's an easy game, though. I don't necessarily think that they can... What,
this week?
Yeah, I think that they might need
There's going to be goals.
Do you think?
There's going to be goals. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I talked to my mate who I'm going with, who obviously goes every week, and his prediction's 4-1 City. He thinks Bournemouth will score, but he thinks there's going to be a lot of goals. And Bournemouth's history against City is awful, like literally awful. So I do think there's going to be goals. And I'm happy with Foden and Haaland because I think they'll both play. It's just De Bruyne. Now, if we get close to... obviously, it's 3 o'clock is the first game, isn't it? So it's a 1:30 deadline.
Mm.
If we get close to that and we get a leak that De Bruyne is not playing, I think I'll do him, De Huang.
Right, and then you free hit. In 29.
I think that's likely.
I mean, I don't know whether we'll get a leak, but I think it's likely that.
Yeah. And it's then, and then I'll do Solanke next week, most probably. So it's, I think that's what I'll do. I think it's fine. It's one of those things where, I've seen other people taking -4s and things like that. So I feel like I'm, in a good position because majority of these players are going to play. You know, Mitchell's playing left wing back at the moment, by the way. Saliba's obviously playing. I've got a good kind of 8 or 9 here that are definitely going to play. Estupiñan could play and it's a nice fixture.
Yeah.
Taylor could play, you never know. And if I get the Huang in as well, then that feels okay. And obviously I'm keeping Richarlison just in case as well.
So
it feels okay. I mean, De Bruyne, you never know. He could come on off the bench and obviously absolutely haul if they're struggling to break Bournemouth down, but we'll see. Love seeing Andy baiting us like he's not captaining Mitchell, says Dino, right? Yeah, I know. Yeah, 15 pointer coming. Burnley at home, I mean, good fixture, that is.
I think you could be all right there. You bring out the best in him, let's face it. You got that goal from him, didn't you? Another super chat. This is a long one and it involves KDB. It's Christopher Rycon gave us a fiver and he's going to make us work for it. Here we go. If KDB doesn't start, should he do a -8 to field 11? It would be Nunes, KDB, Lascelles to Solanke, Wang, Saliba, or 8 Nori. So he's basically going to be taking out Nunes, KDB, Lascelles. So that's basically two injured players and KDB, who's half injured, and bringing in Solanke, Wang, Saliba for -8. So he's getting Solanke in for 28 already, and he's getting the two Wolves players to buy into the fixtures. I'm not sure I'll go Saliba for the money. And I'd have enough to bring Salah back when he's fit again by doing that. So he's also enabling Salah by doing that as well. So that's a factor. So I guess it's a question of he needs Solanke for 28. Should he go all in for Wang and Saliba? I guess it's not a -8 because basically he's only got what? I presume if KDB doesn't start, he's only got 10 players. So you can say it's a -6.
It's so hard to say because we don't know what he's planning to do with his
chips
as well. Mm. So if he's planning a free hit in 29, then I think those moves are fine. I don't think this is a bad week to take a hit or two.
No.
As long as you know what your strategy is going to be and you're getting those players in. I mean, Mark's just said it as well. You're getting rid of injured players for players that are going to start. So already that's...
And you're getting Solanke now, which means you could then get another Bournemouth player for 28. So that's worth considering, the fact you're getting him now as part of the -8. Because that's really not really a -8 then in a way. You can kind of say, well, I have to get Solanke. And by getting Solanke now, I can unlock another Bournemouth player, which is another double game week player. I would probably do it, particularly if you're behind and you're going to free hit in 29. I would do that. I would go after the Wolves. Yeah.
And I'm assuming that'll be... he's also got players that are going to be on the bench and things as well for, this is going to make his 11. So I think it's okay, to be perfectly honest. It's not me saying this will definitely work, but I don't think it's a bad move. And when we're looking at a -8 and saying it's not a bad move, I think it's okay.
Yeah, and absolutely. Harry's turned up. He's taken a break from DMing Stormzy to turn up in the chat. There we go, Harry. I'm sure he's getting back to it after this, though. Please, Stormzy, come on, boys.
Everyone's at
it. I'm going to be doing it straight. Is that what Harry sounds like? No, it isn't. I met him at a festival or something like that. No, welcome, Harry. How are you doing? Glad to see you. And let's get on to my team, shall we?
Yes. By the way, if KDB does start, it will be Solanke I'm bringing in and Bench and Taylor.
Right. Yeah. No, fair enough. My team is Dubravka at Arsenal, not good. Trippier at Arsenal, not good. Gabriel at home to Newcastle, probably not good either because I think Newcastle score. Walker at Bournemouth, probably won't start. Saka captain, wait for it. I maybe changed my mind now. The Bournemouth expert has said they're going to lose 4-1. Foden away at Bournemouth. Bailey at home to Forest. That's a blank. Then Heechan's already come in. Wang has already come in at home to Sheffield United. Watkins, Forest. Darwin a blank. He's got to go to Solanke and then Haaland, Vice. So you don't think I should captain Saka?
No, personally. I mean, I'm on Haaland. I haven't moved off Haaland. I genuinely haven't. Obviously, it's big that KDB's out, but I think with Alvarez just behind him, he's obviously got his pens anyway. I think Haaland all day for me.
Oh, you've made me think about it now. I was all set. I was.
So you've done one move already?
Yeah, I did Wang last night to catch the valuable 0-1. Jota, because I thought was going down, so I thought it was going to be a swing of 0-2 in my defence there.
So you lived dangerously and got your Wang out last night.
I did.
Good man.
And I felt better for it, to be fair.
So. A few more super chats, you can get your Wang out tonight as well. Chuck them in, lads. Chuck them in.
Yeah, I'm sure they will now. Darwin to Solanke. No end of fun with Wang. It's shocking. Darwin to Solanke's obvious, right, for a hit, I think. Yeah. And like I can kind of level out in my head by saying that enables me to go in a bit more on Bournemouth for 28 by doing it now. I'm okay with that.
I'm kind of wondering that. So if you go back to my team,
I'm just
looking at mine and wondering whether if KDB is said to be not playing or not starting, do I do KDB to Wang, and do I also still do that Solanke move?
Yeah, for why not?
Well, it feels weird because obviously I've got an okay 11 and I feel like that's a good, it's good that I'm obviously not having to take a hit this week, but at the same respect, I'm going to get Solanke at some point anyway. So why not just get him this week when Taylor's going to be getting me maybe a point, whereas Solanke could do something.
Yeah, I think he could easily score games. I mean, we know, don't we, that Ederson concedes. Because he always does.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see him score.
We're getting super chats in, by the way.
Sasha would say, get your Wang out for the lads. Look, do not throw me any money. It's not coming out tonight. This is taking a really dark...
Not tonight, he said.
It's getting a
not
dark tonight. Turn dot, now. Dot, dot. Dino Irish saying, what's the Mark and Stormzy duet dropping? I don't know. Look, he's got to follow me first, Dino. So, you know, he's got to do... I know he's there going, shall I follow him? Shall I DM him? No, but he hasn't reached out yet, but I'm sure that's going to come. Yeah, Mitchell is 100% got. Yeah, I know, Pete. I know. It's Andy. It always works for Andy, the Mitchell magic. I've had a few questions on Toffolo, Tavares. Tavares starts every week. Don't go Toffolo. The only Forest defender I would go for is probably Murillo. He's the only one nailed. So if you're going to go for a Forest defender with a free hit 29, it'd be Murillo. Tavares is looking nailed and he does get forward, but he's absolutely useless in the final third. He looks good until he gets to the sharp end of the pitch. He's not a Mitchell. He's certainly not a Mitchell. So
exactly. No one is. No one is.
Yeah. So we've got over 1,000 in the chat. 1,176 joining us tonight. So thank you very much for that. As we draw this to a close, if there are any last questions before we depart, I'm probably going to move my captaincy now. I just fancy Saka. I just think, you know, the returns he's had of late have been absolutely incredible. Of course, and he kind of underlined his elite status, his heavy hitter status, which was in question for a while. But I ran some FBO review stuff and rate my team stuff, and it was really close between Haaland and Saka. Probably still is tonight. It was enough to. I don't see City scoring 3 or 4 goals there. I really don't. Does your Bournemouth friend? Is he not really strong on the Bournemouth defence? Then he just thinks they're going to roll over.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, they do always struggle against City, whether it's home or away. And I think Haaland's about 95% captain, said Dr. David. Mm. Yeah, I know. And he's literally said it. So 2 weeks ago, he invited me and he said, the one thing you're going to get in this fixture is goals. He was like, really? There's going to be goals in this fixture. So I he's pretty good as well. So I'm going to trust him. And Haaland, yeah, he's pretty good. But loads of people are saying, you know, trust your instincts, Mark. If you get Saka Hall.
I know.
Yeah. Some people still don't own Saka. Some people have been the last couple of weeks.
Cheeky swine. Look. I want to forget so that. Sick. I'm trying to forget all that.
Does Mark know if Walker starts?
Do people want me to go missing again?
Absolutely no, shocking. I do not want to go missing. I'll miss this.
Alex Smith said, would a triple Forest on a free hit? Yes, that's another reason why I like the free hit in 29. Can get Forest players in for the first time this season. I mean, Turner doesn't count, does he? So I had Turner, who didn't. What a terrible... always. But I would go Awoniyi and probably Elanga for the free hit. It's probably what I'll do.
Yeah. Who's on pens now for you?
Gibbs White.
Still Gibbs White?
Yeah, because I mean, like, there's a whole world of choice now in that Forest attack. We're so potent. So, yeah, Greg Foster Langer. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. I think that's it for tonight. It was great to be back, Andy. And lovely to have 1,000 people in and some lovely super chats coming in. Thank you for everyone for joining us. I'm going to go away and contemplate the captaincy. I'm going to keep my Wang intact, I wish you all the best. Enjoy the game tomorrow, Andy. Then,
I'm going to enjoy it. Actually, I'm going to go to Bournemouth early, watch the 3 o'clock kickoffs, and then head to the ground at about 5 o'clock. It'd be good. And we'll see.
Haaland destroy me. All right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that'd be nice. It'd be good. I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, it's the first time I've seen Man City play. So I'm going to be really looking forward to watching Haaland and Foden and maybe a little bit of De Bruyne. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. Dyer's saying that you sent a super chat, but I can't see it, Dyer. Where? I'm going all the way back. Can you see a super chat from Dyer anywhere? I don't see it. Honestly, don't see it, Dyer.
Can you send it again, mate?
If you send it
not with the money, just send the text.
No, just send the text. Yeah, I don't see it. Okay. Well, if you did, we'll address it on Twitter like I did last time, Di. So if I did miss it, I don't think I did. But thank you very much for joining us. Hit the like if you enjoyed this late night chat with myself and Andy. Hit the subscribe and please DM Stormzy and tell him to follow me if you can as well. That'd be great. Thank you very much. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.